Welcome to episode 124 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. I'm your host, Doug.
And I'm Dirty A. As the name suggests, we're going to talk about a hodgepodge of topics from movies, music, TV, and other pop culture events, but mostly movies.
And on this episode, we'll be discussing the films Moana, Rules Don't Apply, Neon Demon, and an early review of The Space Between Us. You can reach us at thehodgepodgepodcast at gmail.com. Or over on our website, thehodgepodgepodcast.com. Or look us up on YouTube and iTunes and subscribe. Or look for us on Facebook. Search for The Hodgepodge Podcast and like our page. And no movie news this time because...
We just talked about it.
We just talked about it in our last episode. We're recording two episodes today. Kind of to break it up. We don't want to have like a two-hour episode, an hour and a half episode. So we can jump right into it. Unless there's something that you came up with in the last 45 minutes that you can discuss.
Nothing.
Okay, great. So
my mind is an empty void.
We'll start off with the box office champ of the weekend, and that was Disney's Moana, and it's an animated film, and it's very much in the vein of the 90s Disney movies, except computer animated, in that it's a musical, and it's kind of structured like a musical, where... Oh. Well, I mean, whereas the songs basically are like telling the story as they go.
They went back to their bread and butter.
Right.
They finally realized that they weren't working. Their new formula wasn't working as well.
No, so it's not that. I mean, like
I'm saying that's what it is.
I mean, because
that's exactly what it is.
They've had some good movies, Disney wise. I mean, that aren't Pixar. I mean, they had Wreck-It Ralph.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like Wreck-It Ralph? Nope. I thought Wreck-It Ralph was cute.
Nope.
They had Bolt several years ago, which I liked.
It.
You didn't like Bolt
nope.
either? Why,
nope.
You just hate cartoons.
Nope. Nope. I'm telling you, they went back to the format that they know worked.
Well, it's also because the directors were involved with The Little Mermaid, too. So it's really what they know. And they also brought in, what's that guy's name from Hamilton? Lin-Manuel. He's in this too.
Yeah.
He was involved with the original music. The movie is about a girl, a princess, dun dun dun, a princess who is of Polynesian descent, and her name is Moana, and she's played by Carvalho. Yes.
I don't have any idea. I couldn't.
Yeah. And she plays Moana, and basically, the beginning of the movie tells the story of, I guess it's like a legend, Polynesian legend or whatever, and
yeah, that's how it opens up.
Of this goddess who's like the Earth goddess and stuff, and how the demigod Maui stole her. It's like a stone or something like that that gives her powers. Maui is played by the ubiquitous Dwayne Johnson, also known as The Rock. And he does a really good job here.
Mm-hmm.
He even sings in this, which...
That's right. That song will stick with you forever.
Dirty 8 texted me the next day. And he's like, that fucking song is still in my head.
The song will haunt your dreams.
It's a good song. It's so catchy. It's a good song. Basically, he stole it, and then there's like a darkness that's moving through the land. It kind of reminded me a little bit of something that's going on in the Wonder Woman comics
right now.
So
he stole it with good intentions for humanity.
Right, yeah.
He wanted to give them the gift of creation.
Yes, yes.
But it turned out to be bad, and it basically destroyed the land.
Right.
And it... ostracized him on an island by himself for 1,000 years.
Yeah,
so.
Maui. Yeah, Maui has been exiled, and
because he can't float.
Right.
If there's one thing Maui can't do, it's float.
I think you've listened to it more than once.
Yeah.
So Moana lives on this island with her parents, and her father's the chief, and basically
she's the heir to the throne.
Right. Yeah. She's the only daughter. Heiress. She's the only child of the chief and his wife. The chief is played by Temuera Morrison, who Star Wars fans will remember was Jango Fett.
They won't remember that.
He was Jango Fett in Attack of the Clones, and he played the clones in the later movies. Right. The one later movie.
Yeah.
He may have also voiced them in the cartoons and stuff like that, because he has got nothing else to do with this. He's not as big a star as Ewan McGregor. Ewan McGregor can't be in the cartoons. He's got stuff to do. And basically, the chief wants Moana to basically, you know, take over and be the chiefess.
I don't know.
Of the tribe. And
but she's got a wandering spirit. She's got wanderlust.
She is drawn to the sea, and basically, you find out that she has like powers to somehow control the ocean to a degree,
to a small degree. I guess it is put to us in that she has been chosen, by the ocean,
to get the stone back.
To Maui to put back in its rightful place.
Right, exactly. And her grandmother, who's played by Rachel House, she is always trying to tell her to follow her heart and do what she feels is right and all this stuff.
And she's also like she represents the old school tribe that still believes the legend.
Right.
Whereas the father is just kind of like, that's all it is. It's
right.
a story.
Right. Basically, Moana goes off in search of Maui, and then when she finds him, they are a...
she realizes he's an arrogant jerk.
He's an asshole. But they become traveling partners, and they try and fix what he did.
Along with her retarded chicken for some reason. Yep, they put another retarded animal in their movie.
Now, the thing with this, though, the only way I'll forgive it in this one is that in this one the animals can't talk.
It's fair.
So the
eyes say everything.
No, exactly. But the animals just like it's just a dopey chicken. Cool. Whereas in Finding Dory it's different because all
the
animals talk.
It was different. So, but they still kind of did it again in a little bit.
Yeah, they did. Which was interesting.
I don't know why it rubs me the wrong way. I just feel like I'm not even that PC a person.
Right.
Just feels wrong for kids to grow up laughing at.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. And the other thing is too is like it was, the chicken was solely there to, and apparently the chicken was played by Alan Tudyk, which we didn't.
The chicken doesn't talk. I don't know what he's playing.
He must have like had like 5 minutes in between his Rogue One sessions, and so they said, "Hey, can you do this?"
I just see him when you told me played by Alan Tudyk. I'm like. What the fuck did he do? Did he get like all I could see is like all I could think of was like Andy Serkis. Like they put with a green screen, he walked around like a little chicken. And I was like, what did he do? Because the chicken doesn't talk.
Yeah, yeah. The chicken is clearly
it's
handicapped chicken.
Yeah, and it's that is the comedy element.
But you don't even need that because Maui's funny by himself.
I'm just saying, that's the only purpose it serves.
Yeah, Maui, because I thought Maui was hilarious.
Oh,
and
that whole song was comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
And then, of course, in other comedic talents, you have Jemaine Clement shows up as Tamatoa, who is a giant crab who loves shiny things.
Yeah,
and,
a good musical number.
He has a great song, too. He's really funny. The movie is really... There's actually one little twist at the end that I didn't see coming. That I appreciated. I thought that was a neat little twist at the end. But it is a typical Disney movie where
duality of nature.
Yes, it is a typical Disney movie where it is slightly predictable. But it's very sweet. It's very cute. The songs are really good. I like the songs. Yeah.
It's safe in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But also, you know, it is an original story.
It is.
And it is introducing a atypical, diverse princess into Disney.
Yeah. It's really touching on a culture that is ignored a lot.
Yeah.
The last time I saw this much, I guess you'd say, attention paid to, like, Hawaiian culture and Polynesian culture was The Descendants with George Clooney.
Yeah, great movie.
And that was a great movie, too.
I think I told you when I don't think it was during the movie, but, like, when they were doing one of the kind of screen gems before the movie, of a movie, and they showed the girl that's playing her. I was like, oh, look, they've actually got a Hawaiian to play a Hawaiian.
Yeah, no, right?
As opposed to Emma Stone.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you did say that. Yeah, because, we also saw...
Aloha.
Aloha, which was... not a good movie. Our biggest disappointment. Was that last year or was that this year?
Last year.
That was last year, wasn't it? Yeah. That was the biggest disappointment for that year. But no, it's a really good movie. It's really, the kids will like it. You know, it's just, it's very entertaining. It's a very Disney movie. You know,
it is.
They do a really good job with it.
Classic Disney.
Okay. Yeah. The Rock is great in it.
He was very entertaining. The man can sing too. He can hold a note.
Yeah. And the girl who plays Moana, I won't butcher her name again. She does a great job. And
honestly, her song, which of course is the main song running throughout the movie, didn't do too much for me. I don't know.
I thought it was all right.
It was fine.
Yeah, I mean, it was good.
It was fine.
As a theme to go through.
But it just didn't strike a chord.
Yeah, it's not like it's not a whole new world or anything like that. You know, it's not as catchy as those. But Maui more than makes up for it with You're Welcome.
For sure.
So that's Moana. The day we saw Moana, we did a double header. And the movie we saw first.
Thanks a lot.
And Dirty A's shaking his head because he blames me.
I didn't even want to see it.
Then why did you go?
I didn't even want to see it. I wasn't even supposed to work that day.
We saw Warren Beatty's new film, Rules Don't Apply. And as Dirty A said in our last episode, at the end, maybe the rules should have applied because this movie made no fucking sense.
I think I looked at you in the middle of the movie and said, the rules of plot don't apply to this movie.
Now, I will say this from the get-go. I saw the trailer. The trailer made it look like it was going to be cute comedy, like a romantic comedy type thing set in the, what was it, the 50s, I guess? So set in the 50s. And no, it's not. Alden Ehrenreich is in it, who's going to be playing young Han Solo. And Lily Collins is in it. She plays the female lead. They're fine in this movie with what they're given.
I mean, the issue is not the acting.
No, it's not. Yeah. It's not.
And I'm going on record again as saying, I didn't think it was going to be good.
Okay, great. So,
I was right.
Great, good for you. There's another movie we'll talk about that.
Yes, we will.
You figured out it.
That's right. Yeah. I didn't care enough to try to figure out any of these plot points.
Basically, the movie is about.
Maybe you can tell me.
Yeah, shut up. The movie is about Frank Forbes, who is played by Alden Ehrenreich, young Han Solo, and he is basically a driver who has been hired by. Howard Hughes, who's played by Warren Beatty, incessantly by Warren Beatty, and the drivers are hired by Warren Beatty to basically drive movie starlets around because Warren Beatty, I guess, did he own RKO? I guess, or he was a shareholder at least in RKO.
He must have been either like an exec producer or something like that. I don't know that he owned it.
And he had a stable of young starlets who he kept around, slept with a lot of them. And kept them around and
dangled movie deals in front of them.
Exactly, to keep them around.
To keep them around, yeah.
And the one rule, basically, is that the drivers are not allowed to fraternize with the actresses.
Do tell what happens.
Lily Collins plays Marla Mabry, who comes from... Where were they from? Virginia or something like that?
Yeah, Virginia. Yes, that's right.
West Virginia.
I think it's just Virginia.
It was somewhere on the east end of the country. And her mother's played by Annette Bening, who got her role solely through nepotism.
I was about to say, I wonder how she's able to get that role.
We love Annette Bening. She's great. But
she is.
She's a great actress. Yeah. But it's always funny to see her in this. It's funny to see her in this movie and not be the love interest of Warren Beatty.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're Baptist. They're very religious. Marla is a virgin, and of course Frank falls in love with her, and she falls in love with him. I guess
in some kind of weird time frame that we don't really know
exactly.
The pacing of this movie is all fucked.
Matthew Broderick is in this. He plays Frank's friend LeVar, who is also a driver. I think he's kind of like his boss at first, but then they become
maybe because he seemed like he was like the head of the show. He was just more senior.
Yeah.
But he was basically showing him the ropes.
Right. And then what happens is Frank meets Howard Hughes, and then he becomes eventually.
They kind of strike up a friendship.
Yeah, and he basically becomes like his right-hand man down the line. Because this takes place over, what, 10 years again?
Probably.
Like Loving from the last episode?
I don't really know.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem. Yeah. This movie... Candace Bergen is also in this as Howard Hughes' longtime assistant. I can only imagine with this movie that Warren Beatty filmed 6 fucking hours of footage and then went to an editor and said, edit this.
This is what I told you. I said either this is the worst editing job ever or the best editing job ever of just the most crazy shit that was filmed.
There are scenes in this film that are literally like 5 seconds. And you're just like, wait, what the fuck? Why do we go there? Why are we here?
Yeah. Nope.
This movie is such a fucking mess. It's such a train wreck. And it's just like...
And it's the triumphant return of Warren Beatty to the big screen.
Oh my God, no, it's terrible.
Produced, written, starring Warren Beatty. Yeah. It was his pet project. And he really...
And that's the problem. Because... About halfway through the movie becomes less about the two kids.
You're right.
And it's more about Howard Hughes.
Yeah.
And then you're like...
It kind of does an about face.
It loses the plot.
Yeah.
See, what I envisioned when I saw the trailer is I was like, oh, this is going to be a cute romantic comedy about these two, and he's going to be like a periphery character, this crazy Howard Hughes on the side. It becomes about him and his fucking paranoia and his...
How much you want to bet he was in the editing room?
I would say so, but when we saw the credits, we were like, it was like 5 editors,
four or five editors.
It was ridiculous.
But I bet you he was right there in the thick of it.
Of course he was.
And I mean, I don't have anything against Warren Beatty.
Me neither.
But that said, I do know enough about him to know that he is kind of narcissistic.
Yeah.
And
he's so vain.
Yes, he is. Exactly. I think she said that's not actually about him.
But... No, she did. She finally revealed it is about him.
Did, okay,
yeah.
All right. So, anyway, his narcissism spills out on the screen.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Because this movie was not, it shouldn't be about him.
No.
Not him. It should not be about Howard Hughes.
No, it shouldn't be.
But you're right. Somewhere, halfway through, maybe a quarter through the movie, the love angle is kind of thrown away, and it focuses on Howard Hughes.
Right.
And you're just like, why did this happen? And you kind of feel hoodwinked about the whole movie.
Yeah. It's a real shame because, I mean, I thought it had the potential to be like, you know, a cute romantic comedy period piece, and it just like becomes a freaking train wreck. And it becomes all about Howard Hughes and how crazy he is. And Frank, the reason why he sticks around is because he has this dream of developing this land that he wants Hughes to buy.
With
affordable housing, which was, you know.
Which, oddly, they try to constantly use that to move the plot along, mm-hmm. but it's unnecessary.
Yeah.
Because that whole thing, it doesn't mean anything. It serves no real purpose.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they keep bringing it up.
Yeah.
And I mean, they bring it up right to the end where he's like, I'm quitting and you should do this with me. And you're like, is that even still a thing? Like,
well, that was not at the very end.
Not at the very end.
Because he did do it. He did do it with him.
Yeah, I didn't mean the very end. Right. Know, yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, just, it's a mess. It's a mess. This movie's a mess.
It really is.
It really is.
I mean, it's belaboring me to even talk about it.
I mean, like, the first 10 minutes, we were, like, looking at each other, like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I'm talking about, from the first...
From the get-go.
It's not like all of a sudden, halfway through, you realize, what am I watching? I mean, from the first 10 minutes, we're going, what the fuck is going on here?
It was, like, a 5-year span, because I remember they said it was, like, 5 years.
You're right, 5 years.
4 months or something like that.
20-some hours long. You're right, 5 months.
And it was...
it felt like years.
Yeah, and it was... Because it starts, I think, in the early 60s.
Because they made it seem like Howard Hughes aged terribly.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was clearly a sick man.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. It starts off in the 60s, and then it flashes back, I guess, to the 50s.
Yeah.
It's just... But it's like, it jumps all over the place. And then sometimes they'll tell you where they are, sometimes they don't. But then when they went, one thing, 38 turns to me, they go to Las Vegas. They've kept us in the dark about how much time has passed and what's going on, but they go to Las Vegas and they put in big letters, Las Vegas. And he goes, oh, really?
Well,
you think?
Well, it's not like it shows an airplane flying down, right, touching down or something like that.
It shows the strip.
Like they literally show the strip and start showing B footage of all the different signs and then big bold letters at the bottom like Las Vegas. And you're like, no fucking shit. Like, oh, I thought they were fucking in Ohio. I thought this is Iowa.
Don't go see Rules Don't Apply. Because...
Where's my banana nut?
Is
that banana nut?
Oh, my God. The rules of logic don't apply to this movie. And I guess to a degree, maybe he was trying to show his mania with that. But again, it's like I said, the movie wasn't supposed to be about him. It's not about him. It's about the two kids.
It should have been.
And he made it about him. I already saw The Aviator, man. I don't need to see this.
Yeah. Well, and this is... And if you recall, I don't remember what the quote was at the very beginning. It was something... I don't remember what the quote was or who said it, but something to the effect of... And it may have been a Howard Hughes quote. I don't remember. But it was... God damn, I wish I could remember the quote, but something to the effect of, if it's a fantastic fact, don't check it. Remember that quote?
Oh.
It was something to the effect of, it said, like, if it's a fantastical fact, don't check it, basically, because you're likely to find out it's not true.
I guess,
man. And it basically, that set the whole movie up to say, none of this is true, we're just pretending that this was happened with Howard Hughes.
Right.
And I was just like, whatever. The whole movie was trash.
Yeah, it was garbage.
Thanks a lot, Warren Beatty.
I know, thanks a lot.
I'm just going to make Dick Tracy again.
Dick Tracy 2. Dick Tracy's 80.
Electric Boogaloo.
Now.
I think he wanted to do that.
Oh, he did, yeah. He totally did. Now, let's move on to possibly the weirdest movie I saw this year. And I saw The Lobster.
That's definitely in my top five.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I was telling Dirty A that I'm compiling my list.
I shouldn't say definitely. I don't even have my list yet.
There's still plenty of movies for us to see.
It's still going to make my top 10.
There's still 1 month left to go, and there's a lot of movies to go see.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. But no, The Lobster is very high on my list too. Because when people ask us, they ask us all the time. Like our friends ask us, you know, what are the good movies? I always forget to mention The Lobster.
I do too.
And I'm like, Lobster.
It's a movie that no one appreciates, right, in the grander commercial scheme.
We're getting off topic.
Yes,
we've already talked about The Lobster. We're going to talk about now Nicholas Winding Refn's NWR.
I'm gonna put my monogram, my monogram in the title sequence. Like, what the fuck, dude?
Neon Demon.
I mean, this man is the most stylistic filmmaker we've seen in decades.
This, I will say this, okay? Because I saw this months ago. I saw this when it came out, and then Dirty A couldn't make it, and you finally saw it, I guess, on video on demand or whatever.
A couple months ago. Yeah.
This movie is beautiful. Beautiful looking.
Absolutely.
It's very stylish, like you said. It's gorgeous.
Well, just as a director, this guy, it's clear what he cares about when he's making a movie.
Yeah.
And it is style.
Yeah.
Even with Drive, which I love.
Yeah.
It's clear that he's going for a style there.
Yes. And I have to mention before we get deep into it, Cliff Martinez does the soundtrack. He also did the original score for Drive. It's fantastic.
Yep.
It's very 80s, very synthesizer heavy.
Very synthy. Yeah.
It's fantastic score for this movie.
Yeah, the style, the feel that he's going for, it works.
Right.
But man, that plot.
And then we decided that...
it's certainly better than his last effort.
Yes, it is. It is better than Only God Forgives.
It is leaps better than Only God Forgives Him Eyes.
But it's clear... He needs to go back to adapting stuff like in Drive because he didn't write Drive.
That's correct. He may
have written the screenplay, but he didn't. He didn't come up with the story. It's based on a novel.
That's right. And then
he really needs to go back to adapting stuff because his stuff is so fucking weird. I don't even want to know.
This guy has got to be on so many drugs.
Oh my God,
so many drugs.
This movie was so fucking bizarre. I'm sitting in the theater going, "What the fuck?" take.
What he did was he took the way we all like to describe Hollywood.
Right.
And in most cases when movies try to play that out,
right,
it's very subtle.
Yes.
He
it's very metaphorical.
Metaphorical and subtle. He does not do that.
No, this is very literal.
He flips it on its face and is very literal about everything. So you have in this movie, what do you have? Okay, you got your narcissistic models.
Yes.
You've got your cannibalism. That's right.
Yeah.
You got your necrophilia.
Yes.
You do have that.
It's in there. It's in there.
It's not subtle. It's not subtle.
You've got rapey dudes.
You got rapes.
Rapey dudes.
So it's just chock full of this. And, of course, the whole thing is an allegory for, not Hollywood, but the modeling industry.
Right.
How they feed off the pain of others and
well, how they take youth and beauty and they basically suck it dry. Yeah. They'll eat you alive.
Yes.
And the main character is Jessie. She's played by Elle Fanning. She's what, 16, I guess.
She lies about her age. She's very green.
She's new.
She's literally coming from like somewhere like Iowa. Or
right.
Somewhere like
she's
that.
The new girl.
Yeah,
she's the new girl.
She's the new girl that becomes the it girl.
And she befriends Ruby, who is a played by Jenna Malone, who is a makeup artist
slash necrophiliac.
Slash
lesbian.
And then she introduces Jessie to Gigi, who's played by Bella Heathcote. And Sarah, who's played by Abby Lee. And those two girls are hot. Basically, Christina Hendricks is in this. She plays...
I think she's pretty.
Yeah, Christina Hendricks is beautiful.
Yes.
She's the one good thing about Bad Santa 2. Don't go see that either, folks. It's terrible. Stay home and watch Bad Santa 1.
I meant to ask you about that. But
yeah, just stay home and watch Bad Santa 1.
I figured as much.
It's the same goddamn movie.
Okay.
He literally learns the lessons he learned in Bad Santa 1 at the end of this one. I'm like, would you drink so much you forgot that you learned that lesson in the first one?
Well, yeah.
But Christina Hendricks, she plays basically like her modeling agent.
Right.
And after you see this movie, you will hate Keanu Reeves. Because he is a full-on scumbag in this movie.
Yeah.
He's barely in it. He's not in it that much.
But he's not the worst.
No, he's not. But he's definitely a scumbag. It's about this girl who is Jessie, who is told how beautiful she is, and she kind of doesn't really buy into it. She just kind of does. Yeah, until she magically does.
Yeah.
She has some weird 5-minute montage scene.
The story is about her rise to stardom. The problem is the pacing of the story, because you don't know
the pacing's wrong in a Refn movie.
Yeah,
get out of here.
You don't know. You don't understand the time frame of
right.
of. You know. Yes, she should come in at 16, and maybe in a couple years she's a superstar.
Right.
But this makes it seem like it was weeks, maybe even a couple months, and all of a sudden she's this huge star that they're all clamoring to be. And I'm not saying that was the time frame, but
right.
that's what it felt like. It did not feel like. There was enough time elapsed for her to
right.
have become the star that she supposedly was.
Right.
For them to be as jealous
yes.
as they were.
Yes. Yeah.
But they are jealous.
Oh yeah.
And they rectify that jealousy
yes.
with murder.
Yes. Yeah, sorry for spoiling it for you. This movie is way fucked up.
Yeah.
It's way fucked up. But at the same time, it is better than Only God Forgives. But at the same time, it was kind of like Enemy in a way where I was just like, I kind of like this movie, but not really. It's
you know, it was fucked up until the part where the girl vomits up an eyeball. And then you're like, oh, okay. All right. We're back to reality here. Okay. I mean, literally the model gets sick on set. Goes in the back room and throws up a fucking eyeball.
Yeah, it's gross.
Because they fucking ate Elle Fanning.
They devoured her beauty,
and then they rubbed their blood all over them. And but that all happened after what's her face?
Jenna Malone fucks
a cadaver. That happens after. You got to paint this movie in the befores and afters of the fucking craziness.
This movie is fuck nuts.
It wasn't an unenjoyable watch.
It wasn't, no. But the thing that confused me was that, like, I thought that she was going to have, like, some kind of supernatural powers or something like that. I thought she was going to be, like, a Carrie type girl.
Oh, no.
Because, like, she was seeing, like...
He would never do that.
Because the... Well, I don't know, man. I forget what big cat it was. It was a panther?
Oh, right. Yes.
Because I've seen it so long ago. I can't remember. The panther came into her room or something.
Yeah.
And then she can, like, sense things are going to happen and stuff like that. So it was very strange.
I thought it was going the route where she loses her mind.
Oh, okay.
That's where I thought it was going to go.
Right.
Instead, she loses her body.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she was going to go crazy kind of thing.
Right.
And that's
right.
where it was going to go with the story. Right. But no.
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 No. No.
Now, it's very straightforward. It's very straightforward with the murdering and consumption of a human body. It's just a very straightforward movie about that.
Jesus. This movie's so fucked up.
Yeah, it was so pretentious from the opening scene where he literally monogrammed the title.
NWR.
God damn it. What the fuck, man?
When I saw that, I was like, fuck you. I was looking at the thing, I'm like, fuck
I
you.
I did. I flipped off the screen. I was like, come on, man. Jesus Christ.
You pretentious prick.
It's your third movie, for fuck's sake, man. And only one of them been good.
I think
four.
He did other stuff that was foreign language. His third English
third
movie.
English
third
movie.
English
yeah,
movie.
That's fair. But look, I'm always going to love Drive. And I'm not saying this man can't make a good movie. And again, this one wasn't terrible.
I think, what did they say?
He needs help with the writing.
They said he wanted to make...
Oh, he did want to remake something.
He wanted to make a Batgirl movie.
He did want to make a Batgirl
movie. And when I heard that, I was like...
That could work.
I could watch the shit out of that movie.
That's the kind of movie that...
If somebody else scripted
it. That's the kind of movie that screams for this kind of stylized acting.
To set it apart from other comic book movies.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. But someone else needs to write it.
Okay, fuck yes.
I'm still down. Drive is still one of my probably top 10 favorite movies.
Oh, no, Drive is fantastic.
I love it. But this movie is leaps and bounds above Only God Forgives in my
life. Yeah, because the problem with Only God Forgives, this was at least interesting.
Yeah.
Only God Forgives was boring.
I thought so, too.
There was one really, really good scene in that when the guy went to the karaoke and then kind of like killed all those guys.
When the guy kind of he almost had a swift pace.
Yes.
You mean that part?
Yes. The movie, Only God Forgives, the movie that we feel that everything was moved so slowly because he only had like 10 minutes of story and he had to stretch out to 90 minutes.
So it's just like, okay, I want you to walk at quarter speed, please. I said quarter speed! But yeah, I did not hate this movie. I didn't enjoy it as much as I hoped.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping that I guess my hope was that Only God Forgives was just kind of a one-off type of thing.
Yeah.
But in this one, I realized, nope, this is who he is, and that's fine. I just need to reset my expectations here.
Right.
But the movie was fine. It wasn't terrible. It is terrible if you can't stomach.
Yeah.
The kind of movie that it is.
And that's the other thing is like they called it like a horror movie, but it's really not a horror movie because it's not like a slasher movie or anything.
I was also
expecting some weird.
But then again, it is horrific, so
yes, it is.
I guess
it is.
Depends on your definition of a horror movie.
Yeah. Neon Demon, maybe?
I don't know.
It's on DVD and Blu-ray now and you can rent it on iTunes.
It's fun to talk about.
Oh yeah, it is. It's definitely like my one friend in New York. He loved Only God Forgives. He loved it, and he was just like,
God's not going to forgive him.
He said people don't like it because, well, first of all, the one argument is like people don't like it because it's not Drive, but that's not why we didn't like it.
I didn't want to remake a Drive.
But he was also like, people don't understand in that movie that the main character is actually the cop and not Ryan Gosling.
Okay, okay. Whatever. And look, every movie's subjective.
Right, of course.
Just because
yeah.
we don't like a movie doesn't yeah. mean that it's not a good movie in its own right to people. And that's great. That's what movies are all about. That's
but,
cool.
But with Only God Forgives, a lot of other people didn't like it as well.
That is accurate. That is accurate. It's at some point, it's hard to argue with the masses.
Yeah, it's not one of those things where like it got like glowing reviews and we were just like, we didn't get it.
But that's fair to, it's fair to enjoy a movie that, you know,
yeah,
it may not be for everybody. So, and man, oh man, is this your director for that?
Yes, yes. Now we have...
And you know what's funny? I don't think you ever saw it, but Lost River...
No, that's Ryan Gosling's movie. I haven't seen that.
I swear, I think he tried to be Nicholas Refn in that movie.
For sure.
He was.
I could tell from the trailer.
He was channeling the fuck out of some Nicholas Refn in that movie, and it was a piece of crap.
Oh, yeah, I didn't see it. I heard it was terrible.
Piece of crap. I don't know. Maybe that's a stretch, but it was boring at best.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Now we're going to talk about a movie that I'm looking at IMDb, and this movie was supposed to come out in December. But now this says the release date is February.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's probably because it's not that good.
They're really taking to heart what I said, which is you need to put some space between me and this movie.
This is the space between us. This is an early review. Early review. Early review. The space between us.
Spoiler alert. It's not good.
The space between us. Is a movie
that
has
you can define it as
that has an interesting premise as far as being a sci-fi movie. It's an interesting premise. What happens
what
is
what could have been an interesting sci-fi movie. Unfortunately, right. It's not a sci-fi movie.
Right. It's basically there is a mission to Mars and one of the astronauts, which I guess it doesn't bode well for lady astronauts, but she was pregnant before they even left.
Women drivers.
And she basically has her child on Mars.
That's right.
And
pregnant unbeknownst to anyone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And
even herself. She didn't realize she was pregnant until they're there.
Right. She has her baby on Mars. And then basically the kid is raised on Mars in the habitat that they have there. And
so for many reasons, they decide that they can't bring the kid back because his body won't be...
For physiological
reasons. And then for PR reasons, they decide to keep him a secret.
Yes.
Whatever.
I guess this is the girl who played... Yeah, I think this is her. Janet Montgomery played... played the mother. This says she's 31. Okay, she looked like she was like 25.
Yeah.
And I was like, and the thing is like, the reason why that's bad is because, I mean, because she's beautiful. She's a beautiful woman. She's a beautiful woman. But I'm like, she looks like she's 25. There's no 25-year-old astronauts.
Why is she going into space?
There's no 25-year-old astronauts.
Yeah. To be fair, the only thing that you can argue against that kind of thing is that this is a private space program, right? This wasn't NASA, right?
I think NASA was involved.
Oh, were they? I thought.
Oh
this was,
no, they this, probably weren't right. because they probably can't use NASA.
Right. See, this is more of like the Elon Musk, type of guy. That's who Gary Oldman plays.
Yeah, Gary Oldman plays the head of this company.
Who's got this privatized company?
Right.
Who's
okay? You're right. Yeah.
So
you're right. Yeah.
That's you can kind of get around it that way. Yeah.
So Gary Oldman plays.
I think there's another reason she might have. On that flight.
Gary Oldman plays Nathaniel Shepard, and he's like the head of this company. Asa Butterfield plays the kid when he's grown up, because it jumps 16 years later, and the kid's basically a teenager. And
I'm like, when's he going to kill some aliens?
Exactly. And he's being raised by hot Carla Gugino.
Yeah, she's so hot.
Who plays Kendra. She's one of the scientists up there who's raising him.
Yeah, she's essentially...
Oh, because the mother dies.
Mother died in childbirth.
The mother dies in childbirth.
Clearly. So she's kind of like a surrogate mother that is sent there with the sole express purpose of raising him and being a mother.
Oh, was that her whole reason for being there?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I didn't
she
know
was
that.
Sent there
oh, I didn't
as
know that.
A surrogate
okay.
mother.
I didn't realize that.
Yes, yes.
Because
she couldn't have kids of her own, remember?
Oh, right. B.D. Wong is in this. He plays one of the directors of the program or whatever. Basically, Asa Butterfield can communicate with people on Earth, and he's part of like some pen pal program or something like that.
That's how that works.
Because that's how that works.
The internet's on Mars.
And he's communicating with Britt Robertson, who plays Tulsa. Okay? I guess she saw Zombieland too much. She's 26, but she's playing a girl who's 16.
16, clearly.
So, you
know. At least that explains my confused feelings.
Yeah.
For her during the movie.
I shouldn't feel this way.
Makes me feel better.
But it's okay. And basically, the kid, his name is Gardner. He wants to go to Earth. He wants to visit Earth. And he
essentially wants to go find his father.
Yeah, he wants to find his father, but he also wants to meet this girl.
He wants to fuck the girl.
He wants to fuck the girl with his Martian dick. And so,
it had three hits. Mutated.
So, he goes to Earth, and he breaks out of quarantine and has an adventure with this girl. And at times, it's a sweet movie, but it's also very much a typical teenage bullshit, schlocky bullshit movie. And they
could have done a lot better with the material.
Of course, they could have made it really cool and sci-fi.
They could have made it more sci-fi. Made him more perilous in the coming here. He should have had more problems acclimating than he did.
I guess,
It all felt a little too easy. Like, and then like, okay, so you're fucking bewildered that there's a horse, but then the dog doesn't frighten you. Like,
yeah, that was weird. That was weird.
Like, what?
That was weird.
So a lot of it doesn't make sense. And of course, within 5 minutes of the movie starting, I looked at Doug and called the big plot twist of this movie. To which Doug goes, "I don't think so. I don't think so." And I'm like, I just kept looking at him, going, "Wait." Wait,
and then sure enough,
about 20 minutes to the end, I'm like, told ya. I mean, right up until the end, Doug's like, no, that's not going to happen. I'm like, it's going to happen.
To which our friend Jen, who saw the movie, was just like, I hate you guys.
Oh, did you tell her?
Yeah,
did you tell her what I thought when I thought it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Then she was definitely like, oh, fuck, he just gave that away. But my favorite part is me knowing that 5 minutes in, like, I've got zero doubt in my head that this is where this is going. And then at the end, hearing, like, people behind us going, oh.
See, I wasn't surprised.
I'm not saying you were surprised.
But I was hoping it was going to go a different way.
That was going to happen. But the people behind us were just like, oh, like, complete shock.
And that's what happens when you, when it's not like, rules don't apply and we're the only people in the theater.
You know what? Fuck it. Who's going to see this movie? Gary Oldman is his dad, okay? That's the big plot twist in this movie. Gary Oldman is his dad. I even actually gave that away in the preview the other day when we went and saw the movie.
Oh, yeah, you did.
The preview came up for the movie and I go to everyone in the theater, that's his dad. It's fucking... Don't go see this anymore.
But that's what Dirty A means, explaining why this hot, hot, young female astronaut is involved when she looks like she shouldn't even be, like, in a plane, much less on a spaceship. And it's because, you know, he put his
pee in her vagina.
And he made a B.
Yeah. And then, of course, in the end, he, like, goes back to Mars with him. With the kid.
Well, now you completely ruined the
whatever.
Ending.
Like, there's no spoiler in this fucking movie. It's grand enough to make someone want
to
go see it.
That they push back from December to February. Yeah.
Clearly they know. Clearly they have heard from the focus groups of the mini screenings that they've had that, you know what, maybe we were off the mark on this one.
This isn't exactly Ender's Game for Asa Butterfield, which is too bad. He was good in that. He was good in Ender's Game.
This is an issue with acting.
Here. Yeah, it's just the script is just awful.
It was too watered down.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't... It's like they didn't know what they wanted it to be. They didn't know if they wanted to be a sci-fi movie or a teen romance.
Instead, they tried to
make some kind
walk
of
on the wall.
Shitty heart hybrid.
Terrible,
So there you go.
So put your space, put some space between you and this movie.
So that's episode 124 of the Hodgepodge Podcast. One definite winner, two clunkers, and one...
What the fuck?
What the fuck? Next episode, I don't know what we'll be discussing next episode. Maybe Westworld. Maybe we'll do an in-depth episode on Westworld, because that's going to end this Sunday. Maybe Matt will be there.
I hope not.
If he actually watches it.
And, heaven forbid he get a couple days behind.
I hate you both.
Yeah, so maybe we'll talk about Westworld. That might be good, because there's no real movies coming up. Office Christmas Party comes out next week, which I totally want to see. It's got TJ Miller in it, so and it looks funny.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be fun.
And then, of course, in a couple weeks is Rogue One. Yeah, actually,
two weeks from Thursday.
Yeah. So then we'll be talking about that in a couple weeks. But yeah, thanks for listening, folks. See you next time.
What can I say except you're welcome? For the tides, the sun, the sky. Hey, it's okay, it's okay, you're welcome. I'm just an ordinary demi-guy. Hey, what has two thumbs and pulled up the sky? When you were waddling yay high, this